beautiful Sabbath after all the fog and the cold rain. We're finally getting a touch of spring, and I'm glad for it. How about you? Take your Bibles, if you would, and open them to the 23rd Psalm. Familiar lines that have been encouragement to God's people down through the years. Psalm 23. And let's keep our Bibles open as we work our way through this passage. There David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As I look back through the years, all I can say is that life for me has been good. I think you feel the same way. But I also have to admit that there have been times when things were not particularly easy. And I know you know what that's like as well. I remember 13 years ago being called into the office of my company president. And he explained to me that they were restructuring the company and there would therefore be no place for me in that company service. I had 5 months to find a new job. I was absolutely stunned. As the days and the weeks melted together, they got to the place where I didn't know if I had been laid off or fired. All the company president could do was criticize me for this and that and mostly stuff over which I had no control. I became angry. I was very bitter. I was depressed. I was scared to death. My inner sense of well-being and personal security was absolutely shattered. It was one of the great crises of my life. Now, I happen to know that every one of us in this room has faced a crisis at some point in their lives. And maybe right now you're going through a crisis of your own. It could be that you got laid off. And over the last 18 months, you have filed 165 job applications, and still, there is nothing for you. It could be that just recently you have had to bury a loved one, and you have shed so many tears, it could submarine you. It could be that your kids are in a very dangerous place right now. Maybe they're serving in Afghanistan. Maybe they're teetering on the edge of divorce. Maybe they're in financial ruin or they're facing health challenges and you are scared to death. It could be that your landlady has sold the house out from under you and you have no idea where to go. Perhaps you're facing a cancer scare. Maybe you're so discouraged that you're ready to walk out of the church and never come back again. And just maybe you are ready to give up on God altogether. So what do you do when the bottom falls out from under you? What do you do when your life is in a spin cycle and you can't see your way up? Who do you turn to when you need someone to hold you close and comfort you and show you the way forward? The answer, of course, is found here in Psalm 23. Because it is here that we are introduced to the Good Shepherd. Now, these are familiar lines. These are lines that have been memorized by school-age children. These are lines that have been the silent partner of men and women who have suffered through great things. This is the song that has sustained the martyrs down through the ages. These are the words and the lines that are whispered in hospital rooms and at Christian gravesites. These words are filled with power because they reach the head and the heart, because they connect us with Jesus, because they have the power to take us through. And here in the opening lines of this great symphony, as the curtain rises, we are immediately introduced to the star of the show. And that is Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. In good, strong tones, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He draws on familiar biblical imagery. This is imagery that David and Jacob and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Micah and Peter and Paul all draw upon. They picture Jesus as the good shepherd. That is why Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. That is why Jesus says in John 10, 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Wouldn't you say that's good news? We have a Savior who understands our heart needs. We have a Savior who loves us and cares for us. Now, if Jesus is the good shepherd, guess what? That means we are his sheep. Now, as a kid, I grew up in Southern California, and every summer, the family would go to visit my great-grandmother and my uncle Bud, who lived just outside of Roseburg, Oregon, and they raised sheep. They had a sheep ranch, and I learned a lot of things about sheep very quickly. Not only are the little woolies really cute, they are quite dirty, aren't they? And rather stupid. They're helpless and timid and rather clueless, and they tend to run with the pack. Now, honestly now, doesn't that sound a lot like you and me? I mean, life can get really messy sometimes. And sometimes life is so confusing, we don't know which way to go. Left all on our own, we are totally helpless. So that is why we need Jesus. That is why we need the Good Shepherd. Because when we have Jesus as our good shepherd, we have absolutely everything we need. That's why I like the story of the little boy who was in Sabbath school, and he stood up to recite his memory verse, and he got the words all jumbled up, but his theology was spot on when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything else." And that's the truth of it, because when we have Jesus, we have everything we need. Now, as we move through this beautiful song, we can see that there are four different ways that the Good Shepherd cares for us. And the first thing that we can see here in the passage is that he assures us that he will give us peace for our troubled times. When we're tempted to push the panic button and go, and lose it, he says, "I will help you hold it all together. I will help you to think clearly and to know the way that you should go." Here in the opening lines, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." There are three significant things about sheep here that you need to know. The first of these is that they tend to be rather restless critters. They panic very easily. And when the fear factor gets into high gear, they start to run, and they just, well, if they're not careful, they can stampede each other to death. And so the wise shepherd will take one of those sheep and force it to lie down in the quiet pasture there and hand feed it as he calms it. Something else you need to know about sheep is that they weary very easily. And so the shepherd will take the sheep to the cool waters. The problem is that sheep are scared to death of running water. So with his staff, the shepherd will pry loose a couple of large rocks, and he'll dam up the stream and create this nice, quiet pool that the sheep can bathe in, that the sheep can drink from, where the sheep can find rest and refreshment. Something else about sheep is the fact that they get lost really easy. They just wander from one tuft of grass to the next until they're clear off the horizon, and the next thing you know, they fall off the edge and they're caught in a thorny briar patch. So the shepherd at the end of every day will count his sheep there in the fold, and if there's one missing, he will scour the countryside to find that one lost sheep, and he'll hold that sheep close to his heart and carry it home. If, however, that sheep has a constant history of wandering away and getting lost time after time after time, the shepherd will take an added step. He will break that lamb's leg, and then he will tenderly splint it and carry that lamb home close to his heart. I've got to ask you the question here today. Are you restless? Are you tired? Are you feeling kind of lost? Are you in the middle of a crisis right now and you're just ready to totally lose it, to totally freak out? Then you need to connect with the shepherd, because he promises to bring peace to your heart, a peace in the midst of the storm. They tell me out on the plain of Waterloo, there's this great big bronze lion that was forged from the weapons captured by England's enemies back in 1815. I mean, this thing is big, it's ferocious looking, its mouth is gaping wide open, and its fangs are exposed as a way of saying to the world all around, don't mess with me. Well, one day, a little bird decided to fly into the mouth of that lion and build a nest. Right in the middle of this metal monster, she weaved little bits of grass and straw and twigs and downy fuzz, and she slipped about a half dozen eggs into that nest. After about a week or two, you could hear the sounds of sweet chirping coming from that ferocious mouth. And it seems to me that's the kind of thing that the shepherd is wanting to do for us. When we're going crazy, when we want to freak out, when we feel like we're going to lose it all, he says, I will be with you and give you peace. I'll give you the ability to collect your thoughts and think things through. I will give you the ability to sleep soundly at night. I will give to your heart a perfect peace. That is why Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The second thing that we can see in the psalm here is that the shepherd assures us with the guidance that we need for life. He promises to give us a built-in GPS system for the journey of life. He says here, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Literally, what it means is he leads me in the right tracks. You see, every really good shepherd knows how to read the tracks because they're everywhere. They're in the fields, they're on the slopes, they're in the mountains. There are the tracks of animals, tracks of bandits, the etchings of the wind. And when the sheep look down at these, they say, they all look the same to me. And so they are terribly dependent upon the shepherd to lead them on the right track so they can get home. Life is like that. Sometimes we look at all the stuff going around us and we say, hard to know what to do. It's tough to make decisions. It's hard to know the right way to go. That's why I like the story of the young man who was in the army and the sergeant assigned him to KP duty. He was supposed to take this great big pile of potatoes and sort it into two bins, one bin with the good potatoes and another bin with the bad potatoes. 2 hours later, the sergeant came back, and the young man was still sitting there with the first potato in his hand. Great big pile of potatoes around him, and not a single one had gotten into the good bin or the bad bin. And the sergeant was furious. He said, "What's wrong with you anyway? Don't you like the work?" And the young chap said, "Well, sir, it's not the work. That's not a problem. It's just the decisions. It's the decisions that are killing me." And that's the way it is when your life's in a spin cycle and you don't know which way is up and which way is down. How do you think things through? How do you make good decisions? How do you know what God's will is for your life in any given moment? It's here four things that I have to share with you. Very practical insights on how God guides us, and you may want to write these down. The first way that God guides us is through the Scriptures. He guides us in His Word. And that is why every single day we need to take some time to get into God's Word for ourselves. Now, reading good Christian books has its place, and I try to do some of that every single day. But I'd rather hear directly from God than somebody trying to tell me about God, wouldn't you? God is perfectly capable of speaking for Himself. And as I read His Word, I become familiar with His great principles for life. I become familiar with His will for my life. I become familiar with His voice, and that's something I want to be able to recognize readily. Now, here's the neat thing. God will never take you in a direction that is contrary to His will expressed in His Word. You can count on it. God will always lead you in a way that's consistent with His Word. And so every single day, you want to take some time to get into the Bible. The second way that God guides us is through the impressions that are placed upon our heart by the Holy Spirit. When we pray, we open our hearts, we open our minds to God, and the Holy Spirit has a way of sweeping in and moving through our thoughts and helping us to organize our thoughts and have a sense of the direction we need to go. The Holy Spirit impresses us. The Holy Spirit brings us into conviction so we know what we need to do. So we know where to find that cat in the neighbor's garage kind of thing. Third way that God guides us is by having a good knowledge of how He has wired us up. Every one of us has a special history, a special makeup, personality, temperament, set of talents. And God will always lead us in a way that is consistent with the way He has wired us up. I think it was about 7 or 8 years ago, I spent a week working with Chuck Sandifer, who at that time was the president of the Adventist Development and Relief Agency, known to most of us as ADRA. Chuck and I had a great time together. We had good chemistry. And at the end of the week, he said, I think I'd like you to come work for us. I think you'd make a good country director. I bantered with him and I said, well, do you have any openings in Tahiti? And he laughed and he said, if it's a resort place, we're probably not working there. But anyway, he began to send me emails, and he began to get the HR folks at ADRA talking to me, and they were ready to sign me up, and I said, whoa, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. I felt flattered that they were looking at me, but I knew that wasn't what God had wired me up to do. My place is in the local church. My place is in pastoring people and spending time with people and loving people and sharing God's word. I think I'd be one of these guys who would freak out if there was a war or disaster going on around me. So I knew that it was not God's will for me to go to work for ADRA. That God's will was for me to stay in the local church because that's the way He's wired me up. The fourth way that God guides us is through providential leadings. I think you know what I'm talking about here, the way He opens doors, the way He opens windows and creates opportunities for us to step forward. At the same time, you know full well that there are times He closes the door, says, don't go there, go over here. And sometimes that's a long, drawn-out process. But over a period of time, God will show you His way through providential leadings. So it seems to me if you put the four of these together, God's Word, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, knowing how God has wired us up, and providential leadings, you put those all together, you should have a pretty good sense of where God is leading you, the tracks that He wants you to go on. The third thing that we can see here in the passage is that God gives us the assurance that He will care for all our needs. He says here in the Word, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. They tell me in the Middle East when they keep the sheep, in the springtime they will typically graze in the lowlands. But then as the summer sun melts away the snow up on the mountaintops, they'll take those sheep to the better grazing spots up above. The thing is this, to get from here to here requires a scary, scary journey. Sometimes the pathway goes through the woods where it's so thick, the trees are so thick, you can't even see the sun. Sometimes the raging river is coming at you so fast, it's enough to make your heart stop cold. Often in the rocks and in the dark places are snakes and wolves and lions and bears ready to pounce upon the sheep. But the sheep feel totally secure because they are with the Good Shepherd. That's good news, because you and I go through some very challenging times too, don't we? Times when it's so dark we can hardly see. Times where things are coming at us fast and furiously. Times when it feels like everything and everyone just wants to jump on us and rip us apart. But God has promised to take care of us. He has promised to take care of us with His rod and his staff, he has promised to take care of us. Now, when David was a shepherd boy, he carried this 2-foot club. It was called a rod. And on the end of that club was a nice rounded knot. And into that knot, he tapped dozens of pieces of metal. I mean, with a good thrust, he could take out a bear or a lion or a wolf with that club. When David was a shepherd boy, he also carried with him a staff. We call it a shepherd's crook. You know what I'm talking about? He could do so many things with that shepherd's crook. He could pull a lamb out of a hole. He could pull back the branches on a pathway so the sheep could clearly get through. He could use that staff to chase away the snakes in the grass. The shepherd's job is to take care of his sheep. And we are assured that our good shepherd will take care of us. It means that with his staff, with his shepherd's crook, he is going to pull us out of our dark holes. And he's going to open a wide path for us to travel down. And he's going to chase the snakes out of our lives. That's good news. Shepherd's job is to take care of his sheep. And this is such a precious truth that we need to take home to our hearts, that God will take care of us. So we're just going to take a pause in the message here to sing hymn 99. It should be on the screen here in a moment, too. God will take care of you. Everyone together.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Through days of